外昆塔之音，服务源于聆听。各位尊敬的奉献者，大家早上好。今天是2020年8月8号，星期六。我们非常荣幸的邀请到敬爱的萨迪亚德瓦帕布为我们讲述今天的早课。感谢大家的聆听。Hare Krishna。
Hare Krishna. Good morning to all the devotees in China.
Hare Krishna. 中国的奉献者们，大家早上好啊。
Today we're starting a new subject, a new topic.
今天我们会开始一个新的话题。
The last, maybe it's been a year, we've been studying the story of Ajamil and three chapters of the sixth canto.
在过去应该已经有快一年的时间了吧，我们就是一直在学习瓦坛的第六篇的有三章的内容都是关于阿加米勒的故事。
Yeah, and I've been giving these talks for, you know, for China once a week for 10 years now. I can't believe it.
Oh, wow. 然后我就这样每个星期给中国的奉献者们讲一次课，就这样都已经有十年的时间了，我都觉得难以置信。
But I've never talked on Bhagavad Gita.
但是这十年的时间里，我却从来没有讲过关于博迦梵歌的内容。
And we're going to go through the Bhagavad Gita together.
所以说现在我们就一起来踏上了解博迦梵歌的旅程吧。
Now today I wanted to spend time on the introduction before we, you know, get to chapter one, chapter two, like that.
所以今天的话，我想先跟大家讲一讲这个介绍的部分，然后的话呢，再进入到第一章和第二章的内容。
And my plan is not to go verse by verse, but to study a chapter for a certain period of time and just select certain verses to focus on. And purpose, of course.
所以而我的计划呢并不是要把每一个诗节都谈论到，而是在一个章节花一段时间来谈论一个章节，然后选择这个章节当中的某一些诗节和某一些要旨来谈论。
However, if I don't select a verse that you know our listeners are particularly interested in, or there's a purport or a verse they have a question about, even though we didn't cover it in the class, if you want to ask a question about that verse orsome teaching in a purport, you're welcome to do so.
然后但是的话呢，如果要是大家对于我在课堂上没有谈论到的一些诗节和要旨当中的内容感兴趣，然后或者是就是你们的一些问题也是跟课堂上我选择谈到的诗节和要旨是没有直接相关联的话呢，我都很欢迎大家能够把你们想要问的问题或者是想要分享的这个感想等等然后都发上来。
So I hope that's okay.
所以我希望这是对大家来说是挺 OK 的。
And let's see what else. Oh, also I would encourage, you know, at the end of a class, I'm going to let everyone know what the next verse and purport that we may be looking at in the next class is, so that beforehand the devotees can look at that verse and look at that purport or a series of verses and study that before we have the class.
然后并且我也打算就是在每一次讲课的结尾部分跟大家讲一讲下个星期我们会谈论的诗节和要旨，那么这样的话呢大家可以在下周开课之前然后就提前的去预习一下我们要谈到的这些诗节和要旨。
And another thing I would ask the listeners to do is as you know, for the next couple of weeks, maybe we'll be on chapter one, for example.
然后另一件我想请大家做的事儿就是可能在接下来的两周或者几周的时间内然后我们会去了解第一章的内容。
So during the week in between our classes, if you could read that chapter, just the verses, just to familiarize yourself with the whole chapter.
然后所以我请大家比如说在这两周或者几周的时间内然后 可以你们每一天阅读第一章的诗节，然后只读诗节，然后让自己更加的去熟悉这个整个章节的一根线，然后整个章节的内容。
In this way, we will promote the International Society for Bhagavad Gita Consciousness.
那么以这样的方式，我们就一起来促成了Krishna 知觉的Krishna 知觉博伽梵歌读书会的这样一个事情了。
So today, I want to talk about the introduction to the Bhagavad Gita and some points that Prabhupada brings out in his introduction.
今天我想跟大家讲一讲这个博伽梵歌当中的介绍，应该对叫导言的部分。然后其中的话呢，帕帕就提到了几个要点。
And if we have time, I also want to speak a little bit about Gita Mahatmya that Prabhupada quotes in his introduction to Bhagavad Gita.
Mahatmya, right?
Gita Mahatmya.
Mahatmya. 然后的话呢，如果还有时间，我也想跟大家再谈一谈帕帕在这个导言部分引用的这个 Gita Mahatmya 的这个内容。
So this is a famous teaching from the Padma Purana, where Lord Shiva is explaining the glories of the Bhagavad Gita to his wife Parvati.
然后这个 Gita Mahatmya 是莲花往事书当中的一部分，是主希瓦向他的妻子 Parvati 解释到这个博伽梵歌的荣耀的这一块。
Yeah, so because Prabhupada quotes it in his introduction, therefore we want to find out more about that.
由于帕帕在他的导言部分引用了这个刚才我们谈到的那个 Gita Mahatmya 部分，因此的话，我们想更多的来去了解一下。
And then finally, I'd like to encourage all the listeners to every now and then look at the list of the disciplic succession that Prabhupada has also added in.To his Bhagavad Gita that comes at the very end of the introduction.
然后的话，最后我也想鼓励大家能够就是时不时的把这个导言的结尾部分，帕帕所罗列出来的我们的使徒传系的列表，然后时不时的能够看一下。
Yeah, so everything we find in Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, not only, Krishna's teaching, but everything Prabhupada has added into that for our benefit, we should.Take advantage of.
所以说对于博伽梵歌来说，里面包含的不仅是有 Krishna 的教导，并且的话呢，也有帕帕他增加在里面的，就是为我们的利益而增加在里面的知识和内容的话呢，我们也应该去熟悉，去更多的去了解。
Okay, so I'm going to chant Jaya Radha Madhava, and then we'll begin speaking.About the introduction of the Bhagavad Gita.
所以我现在就来唱 Jaya Radha Madhava, 然后我们就一起来谈谈博伽梵歌。
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya Radha MadhavaKunjabi Hari Gopi Janna Balaba Girivanadari Gopi Janna Balaba Girivanadari Yasoda Nandana Bhaja JanayajanaYasoda Nandana Braja Jana Rajana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi HariGopi Janna Balava Giri Vanadari Yasodanandana Brajajana Vajana Yasodanandana Brajajana Vajana Yamunati Ravanachari Dayavada Madhava Kajabhyadi Nitai Gaur Vimananda Hari Hari Bho Om Ajanatam Vivandasya Dhananjana Salakaya Chaksun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurvena Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nichananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasari Gaur Bhaktivinda Jai Rup Shri Sanatan Bhakta Raghunath Shri Jiva Gopala Bhakta Dasa Raghunath Shri Nishringa Jai Nishringa Jai Jai Nishringa Praladesha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Bringam Om Shri Lakshmi Narasimhaya Namaha May all living beings be happy.
愿所有的生命体都快乐。
May all living beings be free of suffering.
愿所有的生命体都不再受苦。
And may all living beings awaken and discover their true self and their relationship with Lord Sri Krishna.
愿所有的生命体都得以觉醒到他们真正的自我以及和主 Krishna之间永恒的关系。
So let's first talk about the two words Bhagavad Gita.
让我们首先一起来谈谈这几个词，薄伽梵歌。So
Bhagavad in Sanskrit means God.
薄伽梵 Bhagava 这个词在梵文中意思就是指神。And
Gita means song.
而 Gita 的意思就是歌曲、歌谣。So
it's Krishna's song or the song of God.
因此这个书名的话呢,意思就是指关于 Krishna 的歌谣或者是神之歌。
And of course Sanskrit is a vibrational language, so it can be spoken, but it also can be sung.
而由于梵文是一种这种声音震动的语言,因此的话呢,梵文不仅是可以被说出来,并且是可以被唱出来的。
So Krishna, he's singing or he's speaking to Arjuna, his friend.
因此整本书的话呢，就是记载是 Krishna 在对着他的朋友 Arjuna 唱了这么一番话语，然后或者是说了这么一番话语。
And both Krishna and Arjuna are warriors.
并且 Krishna 和 Arjuna 他们俩都是这个战士。
And they're also cousins.
并且他们还是这个表兄弟。Yeah,
so they're related by family.
所以说由于他们俩是表兄弟，就是这个有亲属关系的亲人了。And
so Krishna, he's not only singing for the benefit of Arjuna, but for the benefit of all living beings.
因此 Krishna 不仅是为了Arjuna的利益而吟唱了或者说了这一番话语，并且也是为了所有生命体的利益而唱了或者是说了这一番话。Because
Arjuna, he's facing many challenges in his life, just like we are.
因为Arjuna就正在面临着他人生当中的许多许多的挑战，我们就和他一样。
And so Krishna explains to Arjuna how to overcome his problems.
因此 Krishna 就向 Arjuna 解释到如何去做来战胜他面对的这些挑战。So
in a similar way, if we hear Krishna's teachings, we can apply them practically in our life to overcome our suffering.
因此以相似的一种方式，我们聆听 Krishna 的教导，那从而把 Krishna 的教导实际的运用在生活之中，来战胜我们所遭受的苦难。
So Krishna and Arjuna, they're on the battlefield, and Arjuna is about to fight his relatives so that he can regain his proper place as leader of the kingdom.
Leader of the kingdom. 所以说在整个这个书里面是他们的整个背景，就是 Krishna 和 Arjuna 他们都在战场之上， Arjuna 即将要和他的亲人们作战，然后其目的，作战的目的就是重新获得他作为一个王国的领袖的这样他的恰当的位置，去重新的获得这样一个位置。
Yeah, so they tried to avoid war and they tried to avoid having to fight, but ultimately they couldn't find a solution, and so now they're about to fight.
他们在这个战事发生之前已经很努力的想去避免战争，然后避免就是双方的这样一种争斗，但是的话呢，最终还是没有找到解决方法，所以说也就不得不所以说也就不得不就是上战场了。
So Arjuna, he had to face the enemy.
所以说 Arjuna 就不得不去面对他的敌人。
And he had to fight on a battlefield.
他就不得不去在战场上作战。
And of course, he had to make so many decisions what about to fight or not to fight.
然后当然他就不得不去做许多许多的决定，就到底要不要去战斗。
Whether to perform his duty or not perform his duty.
到底要不要去履行他的职责。
And similarly, we also have to make decisions in our life.
那么同样的，我们也需要在自己的生活中做出决定。
And often there's not a clear answer and one need is in contradiction to another need. One of the things we want will be in contradiction to another thing we want. We want both things, but we can't have one and have the other too.
We have to
decide. I'll take this one, but I can't have that one.
I see. 而很多时候我们在做决定的时候都没有一个清晰的答案，然后我们都想要鱼和熊掌都想要得到，但是这是不可能都得得到的，所以说就是这个需求和那个需求的话呢是彼此矛盾的，也就只能得到其中一种。
And of course we never know if we're going to win or lose.
并且的话我们永远都不知道自己到底是会赢还是会输。
And so our integrity and our tolerance and these qualities are always being challenged.
由此的话呢，我们的正直，我们的忍耐，那么这些品质将总是受到考验。
Right, and we have these, as a human beings, we have these defects.
作为人类，我们都有这些缺陷。
Right, we're subject to illusion.
我们容易遭受幻觉。
Our senses are imperfect.
我们的感官是不完美的。
We have a tendency to cheat ourselves and others.
我们有这种自欺并欺人的倾向。
And we're selfish.
那并且非常的自私。
And practically, there's always a fear underneath that's driving our decisions.
然后并且基本上我们所有的决定的背后都潜在着潜藏着这样一种恐惧感，总是有这样一种恐惧感是就深埋在我们的每一个这个决定的背后，来驱动着我们做出某种决定的。
On the surface, of course, there's the fear of survival. We're trying not to physically die.
当然在这个表面之上都有这样一种对于生存的恐惧，就是我们总是很努力的希望 努力的去让自己活下来，不会死亡。
But the image we have of ourselves also doesn't want to die, and a lot of our decisions are simply the self-image trying to protect itself.
Self-image trying to protect itself. 然后，但同时的话呢，我们对于自己所抱有的这种自我形象，这种自我形象也不愿意去死，也不愿意死亡。然后我们所做出的许多决定，这些决定的话，也是我们的自我形象很努力的想去保护他自己。
Yeah, so really our challenge is how to become more and more Krishna conscious in spite of our human frailties.
Human frailties, okay. 所以说我们所面临的挑战，那就是如何让自己有越来越多的 Krishna 知觉，尽管我们有如此之多的人类的这种脆弱性，人类的这种弱点在里面。
Yes. So it's ultimately a kind of spiritual battle we're going through.
所以说归根结底，我们在经历着的就是一场灵性上的战斗。
So we have so many different conflicts, you know, that externally spring up, but they're really internal conflicts within ourselves.
我们面临着并且遭遇着许多不同的冲突，那么在外界来看是这些冲突会可能时不时的就冒出来，但是实际上的话呢，这些冲突都源自于我们内心的冲突。
Yeah, especially if we're, dedicated to awakening in this life spiritually.
Then you mean we have a lot of internal conflicts?
Well, yeah, I mean, internal and external, right? We have challenges from our external environment, and also internally we're struggling to do the right thing.
Okay, so especially if we're dedicated to awaken spiritually.
Yeah.
所以说这个话的完整就是说，就是我们既要在外界去面临很多的这些挑战以及冲突，然后并且的话呢，我们的内心也有许多的这种冲突的存在，然后就非常努力的想去做正确的事情。就尤其是如果我们把这一生都致力于在灵性上得以觉醒的话。
Yeah. So, the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita, help us to awaken spiritually and at the same time improve ourselves as human beings.
所以说博伽梵歌的教导就是不仅在帮助我们能得以在灵性上觉醒，并且同时的话呢也是在改进我们作为人类，就是改进我们使得我们能够成为更好的人。
So as we awaken ourselves and improve ourselves as human beings, this improves our relationships and our behaviors.
因此随着我们在灵性上逐渐觉醒，随着我们逐渐的提升自己，改进自己作为一个人这样的一种存在，那么同样的同时的话，我们的人际关系以及our relationships and what's another one?
Our relationship with others. And our behaviors.
然后我们的人际关系以及我们的行为也会随之改进。
Yeah, so oftentimes our conflict, you know, we're having some conflict with our external environment, like someone else in our environment.
所以很多时候我们会在外界环境当中遭遇到冲突，就比如说和遇到的某个人，然后有冲突。
Right, we're in conflict with our wife, we're in conflict with our kids, we're in conflict with our co-workers.
然后我们和妻子、丈夫，然后和孩子，然后或者是跟同事处于这种遭遇到冲突。
But then we discovered that actually the conflict is within ourselves, it's because of our own attachments and aversions.
但然后的话我们就会发现原来这些冲突都是来源于我们的内在，我们的内心就总是要面临着就是有这些种种的这种执念，然后以及厌恶。
Then we find that by applying the teaching of Bhagavad Gita, we transform ourselves within.
而后我们发现，通过运用博迦梵歌的教导，我们就在内心当中巨大的改变了自己。
And then we're no longer in conflict with those outside of us.
而之后的话呢，我们自然也就不会在外界当中和别人处于冲突的状态。
So in this way, we can manage our life and our relationships better.
那么以这样的方式，我们就能更好的管理我们的生活，并且我们的关系也会得到极大的改善，变得更好。
Yeah, and then we start to see how everything in our life is happening as a result of what's occurring within ourselves.
Occurring within ourselves. 而后我们就会开始看到发生在我们生活当中的每一件事，实际上都是来源于我们的内心当中所发生的一切。
Yeah, we see everyone's battling the same ignorance.
我们会看到每个人都在和都在和这个无知和愚昧作战。
Yeah, so Krishna really he shows Arjuna how to come out of this ignorance.
所以说实际上 Krishna 是在向 Arjuna 展示出如何走出无知，走出愚昧。
Right, the inner ignorance he's experiencing.
如何走出他内在所体验到的那种无知的状态
？And that resolves his problem or his dilemma with the what's going on externally.
而这就解决了他在外界所面临的这样一个困境。
Yeah, so in order to help Arjuna awaken out of ignorance, Krishna explains different paths of yoga to him.
Different paths of yoga. 所以说为了帮助 Arjuna 从这个无知当中醒来 ,Krishna 就跟 Arjuna 谈到了不同的瑜伽道路。
Yeah, which lead to inner peace and inner awakening.
而这就会引领着一个人得到这种inner peace and inner awakening.
Inner awakening, yeah.
然后就会引领着一个人到达这种内在的平和、内在的觉醒。
And so the point is if this could, if Arjuna could awaken by hearing Krishna's instructions and applying them, then we can too.
所以说要点就在于，如果 Arjuna 都能够通过Krishna 的教导，并且运用 Krishna 的教导，从而得以觉醒的话，那么我们也是可以的。
So I think of all the scriptural, I mean the sacred literatures of India, probably the best known sacred literature of India outside of India, the best known literature is Bhagavad Gita.
所以说我想的话呢，在就是在印度所有的这些神圣经典、神圣文献之中的话，就是在印度这个国土之外最为被世人所知的这个印度的古代经典，那就是博迦梵歌了。
Yeah, and so we see in Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita there are some quotes from famous 19th century Western transcendentalists.
19th century, huh?
And 20th century transcendentalists like Thoreau and even the person, the famous German physicist who invented the atomic bomb. When the atomic bomb exploded, he quoted from Bhagavad Gita to describe devastation.
所以说的话呢，我们可以在这个博迦梵歌的导言当中就看到，帕帕他就引用了这个19世纪和20世纪的这些西方的就是非常出名的超然主义者，应该是超然主义者，他们的一些话语，就其中就提到了这个有一个德国的物理学家，他是在那个原子弹爆炸的时候就引用了博迦梵歌当中的关于这个毁灭的一个诗节。
Yeah, Henry David Thoreau, he mentions how that he regularly read Bhagavad Gita, and he said that for him, reading Bhagavad Gita was like taking a spiritual bath that bathes his mind.
嗯，哦，然后并且的话，这个亨利·索罗，他然后也是帕帕也引用了他的话，然后就说他是时常让自己阅读博伽梵歌，然后对他来说，阅读博伽梵歌就像是这种灵性上的沐浴一样，让他能够把自己的心意得以沉浸在并且净化在这灵性的这个知识之中。
So anyway, according to the tradition, Bhagavad Gita was written down by Vyasadeva.
根据传统，《博伽梵歌》就是由 Vyasadeva 所著作的。
But the Bhagavad Gita itself is actually just a few chapters of a much larger literature called the Mahabharata.
但是的话呢，《博伽梵歌》本身的话呢，是就是一整部庞大的这个书，然后就是马哈巴拉特，旧译是摩诃婆罗多当中的一几个章节而已。
And so the Mahabharata is this, you know, the story of India, especially of the family, the Pandava family.
我们都知道，Mahabharata 描述的是这个古印度的一个家族，就是 Pandava 家族他们的故事。
So we have to remember, in, you know, 5,000 years ago, when Mahabharata was written, only the higher classes were educated.
was educated. 所以说我们要记住一点，那就是在5000年前，当《博伽梵歌》就是当马哈巴拉特被写作下来的时候，当时的年代是只有高等阶层，社会的高等阶层才是受到教育的。
Yeah, and it's a story, and the only philosophical, you know, section is the Bhagavad Gita.
Oh, the only philosophical section of the Mahabharata is Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah.
Of course,
there's lots of philosophy in Mahabharata, but I mean, Bhagavad Gita is like condensed philosophy.
然后并且的话呢，在整部马哈巴拉特当中，然后博伽梵歌就是那几个章节，就是博伽梵歌所处的那几个章节的话呢，就是它专门是一个精华了的、浓缩了的一个关于哲学的部分。
Yeah, so Mahabharata and Bhagavad Gita was very accessible to majority of the population at the time.
You mean like 5,000 years ago?
Yeah.
然后在5000年前的话呢，当时马哈巴拉特以及博伽梵歌就整本他的这个书籍的话呢，故事，然后都是可以很容易的被社会当中的绝大多数人所获得的，所了解到的。
Yeah, but the Vedas and the Vedanta Sutra, these original sacred literatures were very difficult for the common person to understand.
而韦达经以及维丹塔苏特，然后这些原初的神圣经典，却对于普罗大众来说，当时的普罗大众来说是非常难以理解的。
Yet Bhagavad Gita is written in such a way that the essence of all the Vedic teachings are there. In Bhagavad Gita.
Vedic teaching. 然而的话呢，博伽梵歌被写作、被著作下来的这种方式，却包含了所有伟达经当中的最核心的教导。
So originally there's one Veda.
所以原初的话就只有一部伟达经。
It's not even written down.
而这个原初的伟达经甚至都不是被写作下来的。
Yeah, it's the Veda is explained to the disciple, and the disciple memorizes it, and then then he becomes the next teacher, and he tells his student.
伟达经原本是就是从老师口头的传授给学生，学生记忆住整部伟达经，然后他又作为老师，然后再把整部伟达经又口头的传授给他的学生。
And this is only being taught to Brahmins.
并且的话，伟达经是只在婆罗门阶层当中被教导、被学习的。
So if anybody else who wasn't a Brahmin wanted to understand the Vedic teachings, the only way to access it was through a Brahmin.
就任何一个非婆罗门人士，如果他们想要去了解、理解伟大教导的话呢，他们就必须要通过婆罗门，然后才能去获得这方面的知识和理解。
Yeah, so previous to 5,000 years ago, the Vedas were not written, and there was only one Veda.
所以说在五千年之前，就是早于五千年之前的时代的话，伟达经它并不是被著作下来的，它不是一种书写的方式被保存下来，而是口头传授，然后并且Sorry, Guru Maharaj, I forgot the second part. It was not written and...
There was only one Veda.
并且的话就只有一部维达经。
So then Vyasadeva, he decided to write down the Vedic teaching.
所以说 Vyasadeva, 他就决定要把所有的维达经的教导都写下来。
So he wrote it down.
于是他就真的就全部就写作下来了。
But he divided it into four parts.
但是他把这个整个伟达经的这个文字部分，然后分成了四大部分。
And then each of those four parts had four parts.
然后这个伟达经的这四个部分的话呢，每一个部分又分别包含了四个部分。
Right, so you have the Atharva Veda.
Sorry, Guru Maharaj, the what Veda?
Atharva Veda.
Atharva Veda. 这个其中一部叫 Atharva Veda.
And then the Rig Veda.
然后是 Rig Veda.
And the Yajur Veda.
然后是 Yajur Veda.
And one more. Atharva, Yajur, Rig.And Sama Veda.
然后就是 Sama Veda.
Yeah, so those are the four major divisions of the Vedas.
其实刚才提到的这四部就是整个这个伟达经被分为的最主要的四大部分的这个伟达经。
Yeah, so each one of those has four parts.
然后刚才这四个提到的伟达经的话呢，四部伟达经，然后又每一部的话又分别分为了四大部分。
Yeah, one part are the prayers and the rituals.
其中一部分是包含的是祷文啊和仪式。
And there's another part of the secret teachings.
Secret.
Secret, you know, rituals.
然后另一部分就包含的是这种很神秘的、玄秘的这些教导。
And then there's a part that's just all prayers.
然后有一部分就完全就只是包含的是祈祷文了。
And then there's the part that explains the philosophical meaning of the teaching.
然后又一部分是专门用来阐释教导的哲学上的概念。
Those are the Upanishads.
这一部分的哲学的概念的话呢，就专门被称为 Upanishad， 也就是Upanishad.
Yeah. Upanishad means to hear up closely. So it means like you're up close to the teacher and he's speaking in your ear.
So Upanishad 这个梵文词的话呢，它专门原本的含义就是指这个耳朵凑近了听，然后也就是说你的老师在你的耳朵旁边，然后就说话，然后让你能够真正的听进去的，这个就叫 Upanishad。
Yeah, so the Rig Veda has Upanishads.
The Rig Veda has
a section of the Upanishads.
在这个 Rig Veda这一部分的伟达经当中的话呢，就专门包含有一部分的这个 Upanishad。
Yeah, and the Atharva Veda also has Upanishads.
然后并且这个 Atharva Veda 也有这一部分这个 Upanishad， 我想起来就叫这个奥义书的意思，然后也有这一部分的奥义书的存在。
And the Yajur Veda also has Upanishads.
然后 Yajurveda 也是包含有 Upanishad 的部分。
Yeah, Isha Upanishad, the one we have, is the last Upanishad of the Atharva Veda.
Oh, the last one. 嗯，而我们所了解的，我们都很知道的这个 Isha Upanishad 的这个至尊奥义书的话，只是属于 Atharva Veda 的最后的一部，最后一部奥义书的部分。
Yeah, and the Sama Veda also has Upanishads.
嗯，并且 Sama Veda 然后也是包含有 Upanishad 的。
Yeah, so all of this Vedic knowledge is very difficult to access, very difficult to understand.
嗯，所以我们刚才提到的这一些所有的伟达经的知识，对于人们来说是很难去了解到，很难去明白的。
Yeah, so this is the original teaching, so it's called the Shruti, or that which is heard.
嗯 ，Shruti。嗯，所以说这一部分的原初的教导被称为 Shruti， 这个 Shruti 的意思就是指被聆听到的什么什么的意思。
Yeah, because originally this knowledge was just spoken, right, from guru to disciple, guru to disciple. It wasn't written down.
嗯，因为的话，原初的话，这一部分的知识都是由 guru 口授给他的门徒的，然后他的门徒又再次的口授给他的门徒。然后所以说就被称为 Shruti。
Yeah, so Vyasadeva, he wrote down the Shruti, you know, in four Vedas with four parts.
嗯，因此 Vyasadeva 他就把这一部分 Shruti 的所有的内容，然后分成了四部伟达经，然后这四部伟达经又分别的又包含了四个部分。
And then he wrote a summary of the meaning, of the philosophical meaning of all the Upanishads called.Vedanta Sutra.
嗯，然后的话 ，Vyasadeva 他又著作了这样一部总结性的这个总结性的书，然后就是把 Upanishad 当中所有的哲学含义的内容都拿来给总结了，然后这一部分就被叫做 Vedanta Sutra.
Yeah, so this is all considered Shruti or the original Vedic teaching.
嗯 ，also Shruti 哈。
Yes.
哦，所以说这一个 Vedanta Sutra 也是被认作是 Shruti， 也就是指原初的伟达经教导的意思。
But then Vyasadeva thought, well, you know, this knowledge is only accessible to, you know, very advanced Brahmins.
嗯，但是然后 Vyasadeva 就想，这些所有的知识的话呢，只能够被非常进步的婆罗门人士给获得到。
So he was thinking, well, how can I give this knowledge to the mass of people?
于是他就想着，我该怎样才能把这一门知识能够传达给普罗大众呢？
And then he wrote Bhagavad Gita. Actually, he wrote Mahabharata, which included Bhagavad Gita.
嗯，于是的话呢，他就写下了马哈巴拉特，然后这马哈巴拉特当中就包含了《薄伽梵歌》。
And Vyasadeva's disciple is Sanjaya.
嗯 ，Vyasadeva 的门徒就是 Sanjaya。
And he was able to remote view and see Krishna teaching Arjuna the Bhagavad Gita. So he heard it, he watched it, and he saw it.Even though he wasn't physically present.
嗯，哦，然后他的门徒 Sanjaya， 然后就能得以这个远程的去看到，当时就是在这个战场上所发生的一切，就看到，然后并且听到 Krishna 给予 Arjuna 的这一番话语、这番教导，然后当时这个场景，即便他本人并没有亲自的在那战场上。
So the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita.Begins with Sanjaya telling Dhritarashtra what he's viewing as he's watching the battle,、
嗯、
and as he's watching Arjuna and Krishna talking.
嗯，然后所以说整部《薄伽梵歌》的开始的部分就始自于 Sanjaya 在和 Dhritarashtra 说话，然后他就告诉 Dhritarashtra， 然后他当时就看到在那个战场上，然后他眼前所看到的一切，然后看到Krishna 在和 Arjuna 说话。
Yeah, so that's called the battle of Kurukshetra. After Krishna speaks the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, then they all have a fight.
然后当时我们都知道那一场战争的话就被称为这个Kurukshetra 之战，然后所以说在 Krishna 和 Arjuna 他们的对话结束之后的话呢，然后所有人就开始作战了。
And so the Mahabharata describes, you know, the history, the recent history that led up to the battle. Then it describes the battle. Then it also describes what happens after the battle.
The history lit up. 所以说的话，马哈巴拉特他所描述的这个故事就包含了，就是发生在这个战役之前的这个整个一个历史是怎样的一个进程。这个历史或者故事发生的话呢，就导致最终这个 Kurukshetra 这个战役的发生。然后，并且的话呢，在这个战役上，然后。在这个战场上的话呢，他们的这个谈话的发生，以及在谈话结束，以及在这个整场仗打完之后，接下来又发生了什么？对，所以它整个这个时间线就包含了这些。
So actually, the Bhagavad Gita is a small part, a small section of the Mahabharata.
实际上，《博迦梵歌》是《马哈巴拉特》当中很小的一部分。
So the Mahabharata has 110,000 verses.
马哈巴拉特就包含了110,000. 然后就包含了十一万个十百千万一万一千个还是十万个世界，我没听清楚那个数字，不好意思。
And Bhagavad Gita only has 700 verses.
而博迦梵歌却只有700个诗节。
And, you know, which are divided into 18 chapters.
而这700多个诗节就被分别的这个就是整成了18个这个章节。
Yeah, so in the Bhagavad Gita, three major yogas are described.
在《博迦梵歌》当中，就记载了谈到了三个主要的瑜伽。
Yeah, the yoga of action or karma yoga.
第一个就是活动瑜伽。
The yoga of devotion or bhakti yoga.
然后第二个就是奉爱瑜伽 bhakti yoga.
And the yoga of knowledge or jnana yoga.
然后就是知识瑜伽，也就被叫做 jnana yoga.
Yeah, and so.In the Bhagavad Gita, five major truths are explained.
然后，并且《博迦梵歌》也解释到了五个主要的真相或者叫真理。
What is the truth of the self or the atma, that unit of consciousness?
那么第一个就是关于自我，关于这个 atma 这个知觉的单位的真相或叫真理是什么？
Or the truth of the controller or God, Ishvara.
然后关于Ishvara, 关于至尊的控制者的真相或真理是什么？
And the truth of material nature.
以及这个物质自然的真相。
And the truth of time.
关于时间的真相。
And the truth of karma.
以及关于 karma, 业报的真相。
Yeah, and so through the practice of Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, and Bhakti Yoga, one can realize all of these truths.
因此通过修习活动瑜伽、知识瑜伽和 Bhakti 瑜伽，人就能得以去觉悟到刚才提到的这些真相、这些真理。
Yeah, so, you know, in the Mahabharata itself, there's so many dramatic stories.
在马哈巴拉特当中就包含了许多许多这种很戏剧性的故事。
And, you know, it talks about, you know, the drama that happens in the kingdom between the different kings and the different forces.
然后就描述到了在这个不同的王国之间以及不同的国王之间所发生的这些极具戏剧性的故事。
And basically, you know, the Pandavas, there are five children.
所以基本上就是潘达瓦家族是有这五个孩子。
Five brothers.
五兄弟。
And their father was the king.
他们的父亲就是国王。
And so they were five princes. They were meant to inherit the kingdom after their father.
所以说这五兄弟就是五位王子，然后他们是注定是要在父亲之后继承他们的王国的。
But their father died young.
然而他们的父亲却很年轻的时候就去世了。
And the Pandavas were too young to become the next king.
而这五兄弟由于当时很年幼，太年幼的情况下就无法去成为国王。
So their uncle became the next king.
于是他们的叔叔或者叫伯伯，然后就成了这个下一任的国王了。
His name is Dhritarashtra.
然后他们的叔叔的名字就叫 Dhritarashtra。
And Dhritarashtra was supposed to give the kingdom to the Pandavas once the Pandavas were old enough to become king.
而 Dhritarashtra 是应该本应该是在等这五位五兄弟长年长就是长成人的时候的话呢，就要把他这个代理的王国，然后再给予这五兄弟，让他们来治理来管理的。
But he refused to do that when the Pandavas got older. Instead, he gave the kingdom to his son, his sons, and the head of the sons was named Duryodhana.
但是的话呢，这个 Dhritarashtra 却拒绝在这五兄弟成人之后把他们的王国归还给他们，而是把王国传给了他的儿子们，而他的儿子们的最主要的儿子就是 Duryodhana,
yeah.
Duryodhana,
And then, by crooked means, Dhritarashtra arranged that the Pandavas had to leave the kingdom for 14 years. They had to go live in the forest.
然后就通过这种非常邪恶的、扭曲的、这种邪恶的这种方式，然后就是施诡计嘛。Dhritarashtra 就安排了这五兄弟。然后要离开他们的王国，然后要去到森林里生活14年。
And while they were living in the forest, Dhritarashtra and his sons tried to have the Pandavas killed in many different ways.
然后当这五兄弟居住在森林当中的时候，Dhritarashtra和他的儿子们就试图就尝试了很多不同的方式要。把这五兄弟来给杀死。
So somehow or other, the Pandavas survived 14 years in the forest, and then they returned to the capital, expecting to inherit the kingdom.
但是不知怎的，这五兄弟就全都活了下来，就在这么多的谋杀的这种诡计之下，全都活了下来。然后14年之后，他们就再次的回到了王国的首都，然后就期望着能够去继承他们本应属于他们的王位。
And the Pandavas said, look, you don't have to give us the whole kingdom. Just give us one city to rule.
然后这潘达瓦五兄弟就对 Dhritarashtra 就说道，就说你不需要把你整个王国都给予我们，你就只需要给予我们一座小城市，然后让我们来管理和统治就行了。
But Dhritarashtra and his sons refused. They wouldn't even give them a little piece of land.
但是的话 Dhritarashtra 和他的儿子们完全拒绝了他们的请求，然后连一小片土地一个村庄都不愿意给他们。
Yeah, so they tried to negotiate a settlement, but nothing worked.
所以他们就试图去谈判，找到一个和解的方式，但是的话呢，却根本不起任何作用。
So now it came to the point where Arjuna and his brothers, they had to fight their relatives.
所以说现在这个故事就进展到了这一点，那就是 Arjuna 和他的兄弟们必须要去作战，要为他们本应属于他们的王国而战。
Right, they have to fight their cousins, they have to fight their uncle.
然后他们就必须要和他们的表兄弟作战，和他们的叔叔或伯伯作战。
They have to fight their friends and their teachers.
然后必须要和他们的朋友和老师作战。
So, you know, this is the dilemma Arjuna had.
而这就是 Arjuna 所面临的困境。
And so, when he first saw everyone on the battlefield ready to fight, you know, he began to experience not only fear, but sadness and grief at the, you know, at the loss of, needless loss of life.
Mm, yes, loss of life. 所以说当阿朱娜第一次在战场上看到就是他要即将和他的亲人们和这些老师啊亲人们去作战的时候，他当时就不仅体验到的是一种悲伤感，一种极大的悲伤感，哦，不仅体验到的是一种恐惧，然后还有这种极大的悲伤感，然后就觉得这些生命就为什么就这样毫无必要的就要在这战场上完就死去呢？
So we'll talk more about the situation, you know, Arjuna's situation and his dilemma when we begin to study chapter 1.
等到我们开始学习这个《薄伽梵歌》第一章的时候，我们会更多的去讨论 Arjuna 的当时面临的状况以及他所处于的困境。
But because Prabhupada quotes from the Gita Mahatmya in his introduction, I just wanted to give a little background information about this Gita Mahatmya.
所以说由于帕帕在这个导言部分引用了 Gita Mahatmya 当中的内容，因此我想给大家谈一谈这个关于 Gita Mahatmya 的背景知识。
And so, this is in the Padma Purana.
这是属于 Padma Purana, 也就是莲花往事书当中的一部分。
I didn't mention this before, but the Puranas are also written by Vyasadeva.
我刚才忘了提到了，那就是 Purana 这个往事书也是由 Vyasadeva 所写作的。
And Vyasadeva, see, whatever he wrote after the Vedas is considered a supplement to the Vedas.
所以说Vyasadeva 在他写作完毕伟达经之后，他后来所写的这些内容都被认作是对伟达经的补充。
So the supplemental Vedas,like the Mahabharata and the Puranas, give the teaching of the Vedas, but in a way that the common man can access them.
所以说在这个韦达经的补充内容当中，就是马哈巴拉特以及 Purana, 也就是往事书这一块的话呢，这一块的补充性内容就也是在给予人们，给予读者，给予人们这种就说是关于伟大经的教导，但是的话他所写作的方式却是可以使得普通人都能轻易理解的方式。
So there's 18 Puranas,
就总共有18部往事书。
And there are 6 Puranas for those in the mode of ignorance.
其中6部 Purana, 6部往事书是针对处于愚昧属性当中的人所写。
And there are 6 Puranas for those in the mode of passion.
然后有6部往事书是针对处在这个激情属性的人而写。
And there are 6 Puranas for those who are in the mode of goodness.
然后有6部往事书是针对处在善良属性当中的人所写。
And so the Padma Purana is part of those Puranas that are written for those in the mode of goodness.
而莲花往事书就是针对这个处在善良属性当中人所写的6部往事书当中的一部。
Now the Bhagavat Purana is part of those, you know, 6 Puranas that are also written for those in the mode of goodness.
而 Bhagavat Purana 这个薄伽梵往事书也是属于这个专门针对善良属性人士所写的6部往事书当中的一部。
So even after Vyasadeva had written the 18 Puranas, and he had written the Bhagavat Purana, he was still dissatisfied.
所以说，即便在 Vyasadeva 他著作写作完毕这18部Purana, 18部往事书之后，他也写完了这个薄伽梵往事书，但是他仍然感到不满意，不满足。
And he was wondering, he couldn't figure out why he wasn't satisfied.
他找不到原因，就为什么还是在写下了这些伟大的著作之后，他仍然感到不满足、不满意。
So he approached his spiritual master, Narada Muni.
于是他就接近了他的灵性导师 Narada Muni.
And Narada Muni immediately explained to Vyasadeva why he wasn't satisfied.
而 Narada Muni 立刻就向 Vyasadeva 解释到为什么他会感到不满足、不满意的原因。
And he said, the reason you're dissatisfied is because you haven't described the Supreme Personality. You haven't described about Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Who is the Supreme? 而 Narada Muni 就对 Vyasadeva 就说，你之所以仍然感到不满足的原因，就在于你还没有去描述到 Krishna. 你还没有描述到 Krishna. 描述到 Krishna, 他是至尊人格守神。
Yeah, you haven't described the intimate, personality of Godhead as Krishna. You've described Vishnu, but you haven't really described Krishna.
The intimate personality of God?
Yeah.
Oh, intimate personality of God. Mm. So
intimate relationship. Krishna, you know, God as a father, God as a son, God as a lover.
然后所以说他拿来的梦里就说到，就是说你已经描述到了关于就 Vishnu 的这些内容、这些知识，但是你却还没有描述到关于神的他的亲密的人格的这一部分，也就是 Krishna, 然后你没有谈到 Krishna 就作为这个个体灵魂可以成为他的伴侣，然后成为他的这个父亲，然后成为他的朋友，然后这一块的关于神的知识你还没有谈到。
And you also haven't described pure selfless devotion to God.
Pure selfless devotion to God, 并且你也还没有去描述到对于神所进行的纯粹的无私的奉爱服务。
Yeah, you haven't described complete surrender to Krishna.
你还没有描述到对于 Krishna 的完全的臣服。
So then Vyasadeva, he rewrote the Bhagavata Purana, and that is the Srimad Bhagavatam.
He rewrote the Bhagavata Purana,
which is the Srimad Bhagavatam.
然后的话呢 ，Vyasadeva 他就重新写作了 Bhagavata Purana, 也就是《薄伽梵往事书》，而这个《薄伽梵往事书》就是圣典薄伽瓦坛。
Okay, so we find the Gita Mahatmya in the Padma Purana.
我们就可以在莲花往事书当中找到 Gita Mahatmya 的内容。
So it begins by Parvati, Lord Shiva's wife, asking him a question.
而这个 Gita Mahatmya 就是开始于 Parvati, 也就是主 Shiva 的妻子，她向主 Shiva 开始提问，就以这样的方式就开始了整本著作。
So she said, my dear husband, I know that you know about all transcendental truths.
他就这就写到，就 Parvati 就问，就说我亲爱的丈夫啊，我知道您了解所有的超然的知识，超然的真相。
And because of your mercy, I know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
而由于您的仁慈，我知道 Krishna 是至尊人格守神。
So,She said, I want to hear from you about the glories of Bhagavad Gita.
所以说我想从您这里聆听到关于薄伽梵歌的荣耀。
So she was thinking, because Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, if Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita, it must be very wonderful.
所以说Parvati 他肯定就在想，既然他知道 Krishna 是至尊人格守神，那么 Krishna 所讲述的这一部薄伽梵歌，那肯定是非常非常棒的。
So Lord Shiva, he smiled and he was very happy.
所以主 Shiva 就感到非常开心，然后他就笑了笑，然后
And so he said, just like Anantasesha has no limit to his head's.The glories of the Gita have no limit.
Glories of Gita also have no limit. 然后主 Shiva 就笑了笑，就说到，就正如 Ananta Sesha, Sesha, 然后他的头是数不尽的，他拥有数不尽的头。那所以说，同样的，薄伽梵歌的荣耀也是记载不完的，就是无穷无尽的。
And then he told Parvati a story about Lord Vishnu.
然后他就给 Parvati 讲了一个关于主 Vishnu 的故事。
Yeah, Vishnu had just killed the Mura demon.
Mura demons, right?
Mm-hmm.
而在这个故事中，主 Vishnu 就刚刚杀死 Mura 这些叫 Mura 的恶魔。
And he was resting and kind of smiling.
You mean Lord Shiva is resting and smiling?
No, Lord Vishnu, after he killed the Mura demon, he's resting and he's slightly smiling.
然后主 Vishnu 在杀死这个叫 Mura 的这个恶魔之后的话呢，他就坐在那儿，然后就休息，然后就在微笑。
And Lakshmi is looking at Lord Vishnu's face, wondering, what's he thinking about?
然后 Lakshmi 就在一边，然后他就望着看着主 Vishnu 的脸，然后他就想，主 Vishnu 这个时候他在想什么呢？
And he says, and so Lord Vishnu, he's just resting, and he's not asleep, but he's kind of, you know, dozed off, and he's smiling.
而主 Vishnu 的话呢，当时他就在休息，然后他并不是就是闭上眼睛在睡觉，而是就是在休息，然后在微笑。
And she inquired her, what are you thinking about?
然后 Lakshmi 就问 Vishnu, 就问他就是你在想什么呢？
He said, well, you know, actually I'm not sleeping.
Lakshmi is asking Vishnu that what are you thinking, right?
Yeah. You look like you're sleeping, you look like you're thinking, are you dreaming about something?
然后就是 Lakshmi 就问主 Vishnu 就说您在想什么呢？你看上去好像在睡觉，在想着什么，在做着梦是吗？然后主 Vishnu 就说我什么都我没有在睡觉。
He said, No, I'm not sleeping.
然后他就说没有，我没有在睡觉。
I'm watching how wonderfully my material energy works.
我在看着我的物质能量。是多么美妙的在运作着。
Even though I'm just resting here, by my energy, everything is being controlled. Yet I remain separate.
就即便我是在这里休息，但是的话，所有的一切都是在我的掌控之下。Sorry, Gumaj, what's the last sentence?
Even though I'm resting here, I'm controlling everything, but I remain separate.
然后所有的一切都在我的掌控之中，而我是和所有的一切都是相分离的。
And the great devotees, they're meditating on me, how I'm separate but controlling everything.
而我伟大的奉献者都在冥想着我是如何控制这一切，但同时我又和所有的一切是相分离的。
And the yogis who are remembering me in this way,they become freed from the cycle of birth, death, old age, and disease.
而那些以这种方式来记忆起我的瑜伽师们，就能从生死、生老病死的轮回之中解脱出来。
So Lakshmi said, "Oh, I understand. You're the controller of all things, and you're also the goal of all the great yogis."
然后 Lakshmi 就接着就说道，我知道您是所有一切的控制者，我也知道您是瑜伽师们的终极目标。
And even though you're the cause of creation, you exist independent from the creation.
即便你是造物的原因，即便你是一切造物的原因，但是的话你却是和你的造物，你的创造相独立的。存在着，就是独立的存在着，独立于你的造物而存在的。
So then Lakshmi says, "I want you, please describe to me how your energies work so wonderfully."
而 Lakshmi 接着就对主 Vishnu 就说道，请你向我描述一下您的能量是如何如此，如何这么美妙的，这么棒棒的在运作着呢？
Yeah, because your energies and the way they work are so attractive that even you are watching them while you're lying next to me here.
然后拉什米就接着说，就说您的能量是如此吸引人的，如此吸引人的在运作着，以至于就是 您在我身边休息着，然后您也在看着您的能量是如何运作着的。
He said, "My dear Lakshmi, the workings of my energies are so wonderful that just by understanding them, one becomes free of the bonds of birth and death and can attain my nature."
Attain my nature. 然后 Vishnu 就对 Lakshmi 就说道，我亲爱的 Lakshmi, 我的能量的运作是如此的美妙，如此的伟大，然后以至于只需要去了解到、理解到这个能量运作的方式，那么人就能得以从生死的桎梏之中解脱出来，并且获得我的本质。
But not everyone can understand me or how my energies work.
然而的话，并不是每个人都能理解我的本质，然后都能理解我的能量是如何运作的。
Only those whose intelligence is pure can understand.
而只有那些智力纯净的人才能理解这些。
And only those who are inclined to render service unto me.
并且只有那些想要为我服务的人才能理解这些。
And he says that this transcendental knowledge is fully explained in Srimad Bhagavad Gita.
Srimad Bhagavad Gita.然后他就说到，而这一门超然的知识是在 Srimad Bhagavad Gita 博迦梵歌当中被充分的谈论到了，被充分的解释到了。
Yeah, so this is how the Gita Mahatma begins.
而这就是 Gita Mahatma 所开始的这样一个内容，就是这样开始的。
Yeah, so if you read the Gita Mahatmya, Lord Shiva is glorifying each chapter. Each chapter gives one a certain benediction.
Each chapter of Bhagavad Gita?
Yeah, whoever reads even one chapter, even one verse, gets a special benediction.
Special benediction. 所以说的话呢，如果我们去阅读这个 Gita Mahatmya 的话呢，就会发现主希瓦他在里面就荣耀到，就赞叹到这个博迦梵歌当中的每一个章节、每一个诗节。就是但凡一个人要是阅读了博迦梵歌当中的哪怕一个诗节的话呢，都会获得这个很特殊的祝福。
And there are many places in the Bhagavad Gita itself where Krishna explains that anyone who understands this teaching, no matter what their position is now, becomes freed from the cycle of birth and death.
并且的话，在博迦梵歌当中的很多地方 ，Krishna 也解释到，任何一个哪怕任何一个人，他如果能够理解到这门教导、这门知识的话，无论他现在处在什么样的位置，那么他都能够从生死的轮回之中解脱出来。
And that person will attain transcendental love for God.
并且这个人还会获得对神的超然的爱。
And Krishna says at the end of Bhagavad Gita that whoever hears Bhagavad Gita is actually worshipping the Lord by one's intelligence.
并且在博迦梵歌的结尾部分 ，Krishna 也说到，任何一个聆听博迦梵歌的人都是在用他的智力在崇拜神。
So, that's about all I'm going to speak today, but I just want to give your homework assignment.
所以说刚才就是我今天想给大家谈论到的部分，而现在我想给你们讲一讲就是这个家庭作业。
So, once a day, please read chapter one, just the verses.
请大家每一天然后专门抽出一点时间来阅读博迦梵歌第一章的所有的诗节，就只读诗节。
You know, there are a lot of devotees who don't read chapter one of Bhagavad Gita. They just go directly to all the philosophy and they start at chapter two.
所以大家要知道有很多奉献者都是跳过第一章不读，然后直接从第二章的这个哲学部分开始去读书，读这本书的。
chapter 1 is so important.
然而的话呢，第一章却是非常非常重要的。
Yeah, it's not just setting the scene, it's showing the consciousness that we need to have in order to receive the teaching of Bhagavad Gita.
In order to receive the teaching. 而第一章它不仅是在给整个这个故事铺垫下一个背景，就像我们讲述清楚这个背景是怎样的，但同时的话呢，也在展示出我们需要去有怎样的一种知觉状态，从而才能得以去获得薄伽梵歌的教导。
Yeah, by understanding Arjuna's grief and his situation, then looking at our own grief and our own situation, we're actually making our mind receptive to Krishna's teaching.
所以说通过去了解Arjuna 的悲伤， Arjuna 他当时所处的困境，那么我们来看到自己的悲伤，看到自己所处的这个处境是怎样的，那么由此我们就能使得自己的心意能得以去接收到 Krishna 的教导。
Yeah, so read chapter 1, just the verses, it only take you 10 minutes or so.
所以请大家在每一天能去阅读薄伽梵歌的第一章的只读章只读那个诗节的部分，然后大概就是十分钟的样子。
And then also read text 1 and the purport.
然后并且的话呢，也请你们去读这个第一个诗节的要旨部分。
Yeah, so next week we're actually going to read text 1 and the purport.
You mean the text means the verse, right?
Verse 1, yeah.
然后所以说下
You know, the verse was Krishna speaking, and then the purport where Prabhupada is writing.
Okay, the verse 1 and purport. 然后请大家阅读这个第一章的第一个诗节，然后以及它的要旨，我们就会在下个星期的讲课当中来讲到这第一个诗节和要旨。
Okay, so I will open it up for any questions or comments before we finish today.
Okay. 所以说现在的话呢，正课结束，大家如果有任何问题，然后或者是感想的话呢，就请发上来。I think there's something coming up. Okay. There are three questions. 我们来看刚才大家发上来的问题。第一位，这个叫 Cafeteria 这位奉献者问，请问老师，马哈巴拉特中文版是浓缩版本，英文有详细版本吗？电视剧演得很详细，不知道是否忠实原著。So this devotee is asking that the Chinese version of Mahabharata is a condensed version or abridged version, and does the English does Mahabharata have the whole version in EnglishThat's the first one. Okay, Gunraj, you can speak.
Yeah, you can find that online.
英文是有详细版本的，你可以在网上去查到这个书的整个版本的英文版是有的。
And I think there's even ISKCON devotee versions of it, which would be the best.
并且我想的话呢，也是有伊斯康的奉献者们是把这个薄伽是把这个马哈巴拉特，然后专门写成我们的这个版本的，然后再流传。Yeah, and also she's asking that the TV series have manifested the stories in a lot of details. Wondering if the TV stories are in accordance with the original book.
Well, that's the thing, you know, there's a lot of things, just like any stories, especially, you know, when they're produced for TV or whatever, a lot of times, and even some of the history, you know, that's known generally in India, some of those things are not from the original, and some things have been added, some things have been subtracted. But you can get the major idea.
Okay. 所以说很多的这些，就是你问到第二个问题，电视剧演得很详细，不知道是否忠实原著。然后就说到，就是很多的这些故事的话呢，一旦就是从 小说然后文字转变成这个影像的话呢，它都是有这个删减和增加的部分的。所以说这个电视剧所演绎的马哈巴拉特的话呢也是同样的，它是有删减和增加的部分。但是的话呢，你通过看电视也能够了解到整部马哈巴拉特它当中最主要的点，然后整个的这个主要的故事都是可以了解到的。
Yeah. And of course, you know, many Hindus don't believe that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They just think that he is an incarnation of Vishnu, or they think that Brahma and Vishnu and Shiva are all equal.
Oh, 当然你还要明白，就是很多的印度教徒 Hindus 印度教徒的话呢，他们并不认为 Krishna 是原初的这个守神，而他们认为 Krishna 是主 Vishnu 的一个化身，然后并且他们还认为就是主梵天 Brahma， 然后 Shiva 和这个 Vishnu 他们三个人都是同等的地位的。
Or in some presentations are that Krishna never existed, he's just part of Indian, you know, fairy tales.
Oh, some version, you mean like in TV version? Or...、
Yeah.Well, some books, and、oh, I don't know about the TV versions,、
oh.
but I, that's always possible.
Oh, some books like of Mahabharat?
Yeah.
Oh, 然后并且的话呢，在一些就是一些 Mahabharat 版本之中的话呢，他们也没有把 Krishna 写成是一个真实存在的人物，而是把 Krishna 描述成是一个这种 fairy tale, huh?
Yeah, like mythology.
Oh, like...
It's just a myth. It's not based on any real history.
他们就把 Krishna 认作是一个神话人物，就是一个从来没有真实存在过的，只不过是神话当中的一个故事当中的人而已。
Did I answer all your questions? Was that
I think so, yeah.
I just、okay. want to read one thing. I'll tell you the benediction of...For those who study the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita.
Oh, the benediction for those. 所以说我现在想跟大家讲一讲，就是对于那些学习《薄伽梵歌》第一章的奉献者来说的话呢，对于你们的一个祝福。
So whoever reads the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita quickly attains the supreme destination of Vaikuntha.
Quickly attain supreme destination of Vaikuntha. 所以说对于任何一个阅读《薄伽梵歌》第一章的人来说，他们都会立刻的到达Vaikuntha的至高的目的地。
Anyone who recites or hears or studies the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita will very easily cross over the ocean of material miseries and attain the service of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna.
Lotus Feet of Lord Krishna. 对于任何一个朗诵、聆听和学习《薄伽梵歌》第一章的人来说，他们都会轻易的跨越物质痛苦的海洋，并且轻易的去获得对 Krishna 的莲花族的服务。
Yeah, so I hope this encourages everyone to read the first chapter and not take it lightly.
所以说我希望刚才所说到的这一番话能够鼓舞大家好好的去学习第一章的内容，然后而不是就是把这个讲课或者是把这个薄伽梵歌的第一章就是太这个再怎么说呢 take it lightly， 就是要严肃的对待，对，应该严肃的对待这个这一块。
Okay, is that it? Oh,
yeah,
there's more?
Yeah, two more, maybe three more. 然后第二个问题 ,Maharani, 这位 Mataji 问顶拜 Guru, 顶拜翻译不敢当，请问问题 ,Sukadeva Goswami 一出生就是16岁，薄伽瓦坛第一篇第九章第八世界中讲到他出现在 Bhishma Dev 躺在舰床上即将离开躯体的现场，参加过 Yudhisthira 王的王室会议，而在薄伽瓦坛第一篇第十九章第二十六世节，他到达帕瑞克希特王断食的现场是16岁，如何理解他的年龄呢？ So this Mataji is offering her obeisances unto you, and she's asking that when Shukadeva Goswami was born, he was 16 years old. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 198, Canto 1, Chapter 9, and Verse 8, says that Shukadeva Goswami appeared on the battlefield of Bhishmadev, lying in the arrows about to leave his body. So he appeared at that scene. And then he also attended the royal meeting of Yudhisthira. However, in Bhagavatam, the Canto 1, Chapter 19 and 26 verse, he arrived the fasting, he arrived at the scene of Parikshit, king doing fasting. So when he arrived there, he was 16. So how to understand about his age?
Well, it said that he stayed within the womb until he was 16.
对，就是记载说他是在母亲的肚子里，就是一直待到了16岁，然后才出生的。
And then, as soon as he was born, because he was merged into Brahman, he was afraid that he would fall into Maya. So he didn't want to become attached to anything or anyone, so he immediately ran away.
Ran away, well, Kuma, sorry, I don't really understand this part.
So he was born. He didn't want to become attached and live at home. And he just left home. His father started to call him. Like, come back, and he ran away.
I see. 所以说就是在 Shukadeva Goswami 他出生的之后，然后他出生下来以后的话，他就不想就是去依附于任何的事物，依附于任何人，然后所以说他就他不想就是跌落到 Maya 的陷阱之中，然后于是他就选择离开他的家，然后他的父亲呢就在呼唤着他，让他回家，然后但他就直接就跑掉了。
And then Vyasadev ran after him.
然后于是 Vyasadev 他的父亲然后就追着他跑。
And he recited one verse from the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam.
然后 Shukadeva Goswami 他就当时就念出了这个薄伽瓦坛的第十篇当中的一个诗节。
Actually, it's from the 3rd canto.
实际上是第三篇当中的一个诗节。
And that captured Shukadeva Goswami's attention. He became attracted to the Lord.
而这个当他念出这个诗节的时候，这个诗节就抓住了 Vyasadeva 的吸引注意力，然后就完全让 Vyasadeva 就沉浸在对主的那种痴迷之中。
And he became a fully awakened devotee.
Vyasadeva became a fully awakened devotee?
No, Shukadeva Goswami did.
Because
he heard the Srimad Bhagavatam from his father, Vyasadeva, he became a fully awakened devotee.
Vyasadeva reciting the Bhagavatam verse, the Canto 3. Bhagavatam verse to him, and he became like lost in the attraction for the Lord, and he became. 不好意思，我刚才翻译错了，是 Vyasadev 他当时在追着他儿子跑的时候，他就引用了，他就念出了这个薄伽瓦坛第三篇当中的一个细节，然后就使得他的儿子 Shukadeva Goswami 就完全沉浸在这个对主的吸引之中，然后就在这样的状态下 ，Shukadeva Goswami 他就成为了一个完全觉醒的。
Now the thing is that the stories in the Bhagavatam are not necessarily in chronological order.
Not necessarily in chronological. 关于薄伽瓦坛的一点就是在薄伽瓦坛当中所记载的故事，并不一定都是按照时间的先后顺序来记载的。
And so different devotees are talking at different times, reciting different histories.
所以说不同的奉献者在不同的时间点，谈论着、讲述着不同的时代的故事。
Yeah, so we can't understand the Bhagavatam, chronologically or linearly.
因此的话呢，我们无法是按照这个时间的先后顺序，无法按照这个线性时间的这种顺序来理解博加瓦坦的故事的。我们来看下一个问题。Sumukhi Malaji 问 Sukadeva Goswami 的母亲是谁？So Sumukhi is here asking that who is the mother of Sukadeva Goswami?
Oh, I forget. Well, Vyasadeva's wife. I'd have to look that up. I can't remember.
哦，不是说他也。
Vyasadeva's wife.
嗯。
It's there in the Bhagavatam.
故事说他也忘了，那博加瓦坛当中是有记载，就是Vyasadeva 的妻子是谁，他说他得去查一下才知道。
Yeah, so you can research that question and get back to us.
You mean her or you?
Yeah, I want to say Satyavati. No, that's Vyasadeva's mother. No, I can't remember. We'll have to look.
OK, 故事还记不住就得去查一查才知道。OK, next one.
Yeah.
我们来看下一个 Rajendra Prabhu 问，感谢亲爱的 Satyadeva Prabhu， 感恩翻译，谢谢你，感恩主持。博加梵歌是属于 Shruti 还是 Smriti？ 众说纷纭，有的说博加梵歌既是 Shruti 也是 Smriti， 请问到底是属于哪个？权威出处在哪里？跪谢 Hare Krishna. So Rajendra Prabhu here is saying his thank you to you, and he's asking that does Bhagavad Gita belong to Shruti or Smriti? So some people say that Bhagavad Gita is both Shruti and also Smriti. So please, exactly belongs to which one, and where?Is an authoritative statement about this?
Well, it's Smriti because everything that comes after the Vedas is considered Smriti, but because it's giving the essence of the Shruti, you can also consider it Shruti.
所以说这个博加梵歌的话呢，是属于Smriti 这一类的，因为所有在韦达经之后出来的经典都被认为是Smriti。然而的话呢，由于博加梵歌是对所有的 Shruti 是对 Shruti 的这个知识的精华部分的总结，所以它是这个精华。因此的话，我们也可以把博加梵歌看作是 Smriti Shruti。
And I can't think of, a scriptural verse at this point that describes the difference or that categorizes, you know, what is Shruti and what is Smriti.
但就是我现在无法记忆起一个这个经典上的诗节来。区别谈论什么是 Shruti 什么是 Smriti， 然后就是来分类，就我就记不住这个诗节是什么。
Or, you know, I'm sure Prabhupada explains it in his books, but I have to find that reference.
我想帕帕在他的书当中是肯定就是谈论到了这一点的，就只不过我得去查一下。
I was just looking it up really quick.
不如说他现在在迅速的搜索一下。
See if I could find something. There's a lot of things, but. I want to find something based on, ISKCON literature.
就不如说他想找一找一些迅速的找一找，看能不能。基于这个伊斯康的这个书籍当中找到任何的一点这个可以回答您的问题的部分。
Anyway, and no matter you're inside ISKCON or outside ISKCON or Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, the basic definition of what is Shruti, what is Smriti, that's really not, there's no real argument about that. It's pretty much well accepted.
Sorry, Guru Maharaj, I didn't capture the part. Sorry.
Well, there's really not a controversy outside or inside of ISKCON.
There is controversy, or
controversy as to what we can call Smriti and what we can call Shruti.
Oh, there's no controversy, right?
No.
所以说就针对这个到底它是属于 Shruti 还是属于 Smriti 的话呢，其实是并没有这种争论存在的。
Where the controversy arises is that there are followers of the Vedas that don't accept Smriti. They say, no, the only proof, the only evidence, the only truth is written in the Vedas. It's not in the Smriti. They don't accept the Smriti.
I see. 然后而唯一的这个争议的部分，唯一的争议的部分的存在的话呢，是出现在哪儿？是出现在就韦达经的追随者，他的韦达经的一部分的追随者，他们并不接受 Smriti， 他们认为唯一的证据，唯一的能够就是被证明是真实的，那就只有是韦达经，也就只有这个 Shruti 的部分才是真实的。然而这个 Smriti 他们是并不接受的，然后这就是争议所在。
Yeah, so there are some followers of the Vedas that they don't accept as truth Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam or the Puranas. They only accept the Vedas and Vedanta Sutra. If you want to talk to them about the absolute truth, they'll only discuss the absolute truth based on the Vedas and the Vedanta Sutra.
然后所以说这些韦达经的追随者们，然后他们是并不接受博迦瓦坛、博迦梵歌和这个 Purana 往事书当中的这些知识的，他们不接受这些这一块儿知识的真实性和准确性，然后他们只接受韦达经和 Vedanta Sutra。 然后所以说如果你想要和他们谈论这个绝对真理的话，就只能够是基于韦达经和 Vedanta Sutra 来和他们来讨论。
However, you know, of course, outside of that circle of the people who just follow the Vedas, those many, many people accept Bhagavad Gita as Shruti because it's Lord Krishna speaking about himself.
Accept Bhagavad Gita as Shruti because it's Lord Krishna speaking about himself.
Yeah.
但是就是在这个这些只接受韦达经的这些人的这个圈子之外，然后很多人的话呢，他们都是接受博迦梵歌为 Shruti 的，为 Shruti， 因为博迦梵歌的话呢是 Krishna 他在谈论他自己，然后所以说他们就认为博迦梵歌是属于 Shruti 的部分。
But technically speaking, because Bhagavad Gita appears after the Vedas, then it's considered Smriti.
但是的话呢，从这个技术层面上来看，就由于博迦梵歌是在韦达经之后出现的经典，因此的话呢，就被归类为是 Smriti。
Yeah, so as far as quotes from Srila Prabhupada or from the, like Jiva Goswami, there'll be some quotes, you know, by the Goswamis that also, talk about the categorization of literature based on Shruti or Smriti.
You mean you're trying to find the quotes?
I'm just saying, I'm sure there are some.
Oh.
There are some references, you know, in the Six Goswami's books that are describing, classifying, you know, what is Shruti, what is Smriti.
然后 Guru 就说到他相信就是帕帕的一些讲课写作著作当中的一些引言啊，然后或者是比如说 Jiva Goswami 或者是六位 Goswami 他们的著作当中会有一部分是应该是谈到了的这个 Shruti 和 Smriti 的区别和分类的。
And in fact, a lot of their writing, especially Jiva Goswami, is to prove that Smriti is just as good as Shruti, or even better, because it helps us understand Shruti.
OK，是的。然后实际上的话呢，在吉巴古斯瓦米的很多的著作中，他都在写到，他都在说明 Smriti 实际上是和 Shruti 是一样好的，甚至可以说 Smriti 是比 Shruti 要更好，因为 Smriti 可以帮助大众来更好的理解 Shruti。然后所以说这就是吉巴古斯瓦米的这个他想证明的。
And then there's a famous statement by Rupa Goswami and Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu.
然后在这个Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 这本书里面，Rupa Goswami 然后也说了一句很出名的话。
Where he claims that the Smriti is equal to the Shruti.
然后在这句话里面，然后 Rupa Goswami 就说到 Smriti 和 Shruti 是处于平等地位的。
He says, Shruti, Smriti, Pranadi, Pancharatra, Vidimbina, Aikantiki Harer Bhaktir, Upatayaiva Kalpate. He's saying this in terms of devotional service.
就顾汝刚才所引用的那个梵文的诗节的话呢，意思就是，在就是 Rupa Goswami 他所说的这一番话是基于奉爱服务的这个背景来说的。
He says devotional service to the Lord that ignores the authorized Vedic literatures like the Upanishads.
That ignores the authorized Vedas like Upanishad. 他就说到那些对于主所进行的奉爱服务，这些奉爱服务忽略了这种经典，忽略了这种权威的伟达经，就比如说是 Upanishad，就比如说是这个至尊，这个奥义书这一块的奉爱服务。
And he also says the Puranas.
以及因为 ignore the Puranas，
Yes.
并且忽略了 Purana，忽略了往世书的这些奉爱服务。
Or the Narada Pancharatra.
或者是 Narada Pancharatra 这一部分经典的奉爱服务。
So he says devotional service that ignores, the Upanishads or the Puranas simply causes a dis unnecessary disturbance in society.
Causes unnecessary disturbance in society。然后他就说到这些忽略了 Upanishad、忽略了 Purana 的这些奉爱服务。只会在社会当中引起不必要的，只会不必要的干扰、打扰社会。
In other words, there are many people who claim to be devotees and claim to be performing devotional service, yet they ignore or deviate from the teachings of the Vedas and the Puranas, the Shruti and the Smriti.
Both，所以说换句话说，那就是。有些人他们声称自己是奉献者，声称自己在进行着奉爱服务，但是的话呢，他们却忽略了，这个忽略了 Shruti 和 Smriti 的教导，然后或者是从 Shruti 和 Smriti 的教导当中都已经偏离了这个正轨，偏离了这个整个的教导，然后在做他们自己的事情。
Yeah, so then according to this verse, the Upanishads and the or the Shruti and the Smriti are equal.
所以说根据 Rupa Goswami 的这个师姐的话，那就是 Shruti 和 Smriti 他们是平等的。
Yeah, so you can't ignore, those who just follow the Upanishads, they ignore the Smriti. And he said, you can't do that.
Those who follow,
There, like I mentioned, those persons who only accept the Vedas, only accept the Upanishads, and they ignore the Puranas. They say, oh no, the Smriti, that's no good. Those persons just cause a disturbance.
所以说刚才提到的那一系列人，然后他们就是只是接受韦达经、接受 Upanishad 的教导，但是他们却忽略 Purana， 忽略这个往世书，也就是忽略。Smriti 或者 Smriti 这一部分教导的人，他们只会给社会带来这种干扰、这种打扰，然后引发社会当中的不安状况。
Or you could take it the other way. Those who accept Bhagavad Gita, but they don't accept the Upanishads, they're also causing a problem.
当然我们可以从另一个角度来看，那些只接受薄伽梵歌，但是却不接受 Upanishad， 不接受这个奥义书的教导的人的话，他们也是在制造问题，制造麻烦。
So this is Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Canto 1, Chapter 2, Verse 101.
101. 所以说刚才提到的那个 Rupa Goswami 所写的诗节是 Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 这部著作当中的第一篇第二章第101诗节所写。
Okay, anything else?
Yeah, more.
Oh, really?
Yeah. 好，我们来看下一个问题。这个奉献者，这个手机号。问到感恩咕噜，感恩翻译，谢谢。请问咕噜，奉献者可以外出旅行吗？在外旅行的过程中，在别无选择的情况下，能否走进普通的餐厅，只是点两个素食来解决基本的生存？So this devotee is saying his or her thank you to you, asking that can devotees travel? And during the traveling, without any other choices, can devotees?Also get into ordinary restaurants and just order some vegetarian dishes to solve the basic needs.
Yeah, I mean, when you're traveling, what else are you going to do?
是啊，在你旅行的时候，这个只能能够找点吃的，又能找点吃的，还能怎样呢？Yeah, he's asking that can devotees travel?
Well, of course we travel.
奉献者当然可以外出旅行。
It's practically impossible in our modern society not to, to travel sometimes. We have to travel for work, for business, to families are spread out all over the world. We travel just to go to, to the Holy Land or to...for other associations, so a lot of times we have to bring our food or, sometimes even eat in restaurants, especially for work. It's unavoidable.
Okay. 所以说奉献者当然需要旅行，因为在当今社会，这样一个现代社会的话呢，这个一个人要是不旅行是不可能的，这个必须得工作。工作上可能需要一个人出差吧，然后出差也就必须得旅行，然后或者是要去拜访家人，家人的话可能也是住的，亲人可能住的也不是同一个地方，那也需要旅行。然后在当然奉献者可能还要去圣地朝圣，那去印度朝圣的话，那也得必须得旅行。然后所以说就是这一路上的旅行的话呢，我们可以自己带吃的，但是的话呢，也不可能把所有的这个吃的全部都一起带完。然后所以说，特别是要是工作上的原因旅行的话呢，就可能不得不下馆子了。
But you know, the devotees that travel often, they usually find creative ways to bring prasadam with them.
而对于那些时常需要旅行的奉献者来说，他们会找到一些他们会很有创意的。去想出一些法子来带上 prasadam.
Yeah, so that's always best.
当然这就是最好的，当然是最好的方式了。
Right, and one can say, "Oh, that's too much trouble."
当然有人可能会说，这个带一路上带吃的，真的太麻烦了。
But really, it's much more trouble to have to go eat in a non-devotee, restaurant.
但实际上的话呢，去到一个非奉献者的餐厅里去，吃饭的话呢，反而是会带来更多的麻烦。
So we have a saying in English: where there's a will, there's a way.
所以说英语当中有句话翻译成中文对应的就是"有志者事竟成"。
Traveling is inconvenient and an austerity, but if there's ways to bring prasadam if you're serious about that.
所以说旅行的话呢是挺不方便的，然后也是一种苦行，但是如果你能找到方法来带上你的 prasadam 的话呢，那就表明如果你真是很严肃的来对待这件事情的话，那就得自己想法子来带上 prasadam。
Yeah, but a lot of times for work, you know, working at a company or working in sales, you have to eat in restaurants with clients. There's no way to avoid it.
但是对于就是工作的话呢，比如说公司里上班，然后或者是你从事的是销售业务，然后要跟客户吃饭，然后这个就没办法避免了。
Or, you know, like in my case, when I used to work at the fire department, so I had to stay there for 24 hours, and we all had to eat together, that was the rule.
但就比如说拿我自己举例，我之前在这个消防部门上班，消防部门上班都是24小时的这种倒班制，这24小时都必须得待在一起的话呢，所以说我就必须得和其他的这个同事啊，然后工作人员啊一起吃饭，这就是一个规矩，就没办法去打破。
Yeah, but there's ways, you know, to deal with all these different challenges that we face.
但是的话我们仍然可以找到方法方式来应对和解决我们所遇到的所有的这些挑战。
Okay,
next one.
Uh-huh.
好，下一个问题一样的，这个 cafeteria 这个奉献者问，读《薄伽梵歌》读不懂，像天书一样怎么能看懂呢？谢谢。 So, this devotee is saying that she or maybe he cannot understand Bhagavad Gita. It's basically like foreign language, like something from heaven or something, just cannot understand. How can I understand it? Thank you.
Well, it is a foreign language and it is from heaven.
确实薄伽梵歌是这个外语写的，然后是天书。
So first, you know, we just try and understand the theory, maybe without having the experience.
所以说我们首先的话呢，可能就是努力的去理解这个理论，但是都without having the what?
The experience or the realization. You understand the theory, but you don't really know it.
所以说首先我们就努力的去理解这当中的理论，但是没有任何的这种对这个知识的实际的体验或者是觉悟，因为觉悟就是体验嘛，就是你还可能最开始他还没有这方面的这种体验和觉悟。
Yeah, so first try and understand the concepts.
所以首先我们努力的去理解里面的概念。
And understand it, you know, read it in very small bites.
然后并且的话呢是一小口一小口的来读这本书，然后来吃这当中的内容。
Prabhupada writes in the introduction, he says that if you want to understand Bhagavad Gita, then you have to understand it from the point of view of Krishna.
From the point of view of Krishna. 就怕怕在这个要在这个全面的介绍部分导言部分就说到，如果你想要理解薄伽梵歌，你就需要从 Krishna 的角度来理解薄伽梵歌。
For example, maybe you're an atheist, but you're reading Bhagavad Gita.
就举个例子，假如你是一个无神论者，然后你在读这个薄伽梵歌。
If you want to understand Krishna's teaching, then you have to accept theoretically that Krishna's God giving this teaching. If you accept theoretically that Krishna's God and you try and understand the teaching from that perspective, then you'll be able to understand it.
就假如你是一个无神论者，然后你想要去读懂这本薄伽梵歌在讲什么，那但是由于你不信神。但首先如果你真的想读懂这本书的话，你就要去在理论上接受 Krishna 就是神就是上帝的存在，然后从而当你接受了这样的一个这样一种假设的话，就好，假如说真的 Krishna 就是神，那么你从这样的一个角度来阅读整部薄伽梵歌的话呢，然后才有可能能够明白他在说什么。
Yeah, so it's good to read the verses, you know, every day, read a chapter a day, and don't really try and realize it, but just try and understand the concepts that Krishna's imparting to Arjuna.
所以说如果能够每天都读一些诗节，然后或者读一个章节的话， 那么会是非常好的。然后就在阅读的过程中，就努力的去理解 Krishna 传授给 Arjuna 的这些概念，而不是要努力的让自己去领悟到、觉悟到这些世界。
And if you really want to understand Bhagavad Gita deeply, then there's two things you can do that will really help you to actually realize the teaching.
而如果你真的是想要去深刻的理解《薄伽梵歌》，那么你可以做到这两件事情，做到这两件事就能帮助你能够真正的去觉悟到《薄伽梵歌》当中的知识。
Right, if I tell you about honey, you will understand honey.
如果我跟你描述蜂蜜，那么你就会了解到蜂蜜是怎么一回事。
Yeah, it's made by bees and it has this.Chemical, you know, molecule.
然后你就会了解到，哦，这个蜂蜜是蜜蜂产出来的，然后它包含有这样的这种化学的分子，化学分子在里面。
And not only can you understand it, but you can describe it to somebody else.
那么不仅的话呢，你能明白这个蜂蜜是怎么一回事，并且你也可以同样的。把这一个蜂蜜是怎么一回事解释给别人，让别人明白是怎么一回事。
But you really don't understand honey until you taste it.
然而的话呢，除非你真正的去品尝了蜂蜜是怎样的滋味，在此之前的话呢，你并不是真正的明白蜂蜜是什么。
So there's two things you can do to help you to actually taste Bhagavad Gita.
所以说你可以做到两件事来帮助你自己去真正的品尝到薄伽梵歌。
One is to eat Krishna prasada.
第一件事就是去食用去享用 Krishna prasada.
Food offered to Krishna.
去食用那些供奉给 Krishna 的食物。
And then to meditate, to chant Krishna's name.
然后就是第二件事就是去冥想去念诵 Krishna 的圣名。
Then you'll get a purification of your mind and spiritual intelligence within your heart.
而后的话呢你就会使你的心意得到净化然后并且你的内心也会获得灵性的智力灵性的智商。
Yeah, so reading Bhagavad Gita, understanding Bhagavad Gita is a life, may take a lifetime or a few lifetimes. It's not just like reading some textbook.
Okay, 所以说理解读懂薄伽梵歌，理解薄伽梵歌可能是需要我们投入一辈子的时间呢，或者可能是几辈子的时间，因为这个薄伽梵歌不是一本这个教材，不是读完以后一定就能读懂的。
So just like if you're eating something, you know, you should take small bites and chew it well.
就正像在你吃东西的时候，你会慢慢嚼，然后小口小口的嚼。
Okay, anything?
Okay.
Any more questions?
Yeah, there's a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Oh my God! I can't. I have to end. I have to end now.Maybe next week we'll just begin with questions before we go jump into the first
verse
chapter. Yeah.
Okay. The guru 说他时间不够了，所以说大家剩下的问题，我数了一下，总共有七个，然后就得拜托你们等到下个星期。然后他说下周上课的时候，首先就先回答大家的问题，然后的话呢，再开始讲《薄伽梵歌》的第一章。
But I'm very encouraged by all the questions and just you know the devotees' enthusiasm for wanting to you know hear and discuss Bhagavad Gita.
但是的话呢我真的感到很受鼓舞呢大家这么热情满满的就是来提问然后热情满满的想要去学习和讨论薄伽梵歌。
Okay, so I thank all the listeners today. Thank you, Narayani, for translating and Sumukhi and, is Radhapriya there too?
No.
Just Sumukhi. Well, thank you both.
So, 感谢 Sumukhi Madaji, 然后也感谢 Radhapriya Madaji.
All glories to Prabhupada and all glories to Srimad Bhagavad Gita.
所有的荣耀都归于帕帕，所有的荣耀都归于 Sri Mad Bhagavad Gita 我家梵歌。
So please do your homework.
请大家好好的做好家庭作业啊。
And next week have a happy Janmashtami and Prabhupada Vyasa Puja.
然后祝愿大家在下周有一个快乐的 Janmashtami 节和帕帕的 Vyasa Puja 节。
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Gunaji. 麦昆塔之音，福源与聆听，今天的讲课到此结束。Hare Krishna, 愿大家有美好的知觉的一天。